And welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Hope you enjoyed just a few moments of the song Mayfly by the Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet. And I promise you'll hear more of the song at the end of the show. And Robert Bradford was just in our station a few minutes ago. So Robert, if you're listening, hello. And we're going to schedule a time for him and his quartet to be on the show and play music and tell us all about their journey. But we're getting fancy here. We're getting more polished with our Aging Well Together show, now with theme music. This is our new weekly show coming to you on 103.5 FM WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Aging Well Together is also available to stream via WCOM's website, and that is WCOMFM.org. Or through streaming services. People have been asking me that, so I just looked up which streaming services, and we are on TuneIn Radio and Radio Garden. So many thanks for listening to us in any way we're coming to you. So Aging Well Together is a weekly radio program brought to you by the fabulous folks from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please continue to join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss, and I'm sure you're going to want more after today's show, or even if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070, or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. All right, now for me, I am your happy host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 20 years working in aging services locally. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together. Now, finally, my guests are just sitting here staring at me like, let's get it going. I am so excited about today's program. It's all about the wide range of programs and services offered through the two senior centers here in Orange County, part of the Orange County Department on Aging's efforts. The senior centers are the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill and the Passmore Center in Hillsborough. We have three new guests to the show, but they are not new to the Orange County Department on Aging and the senior centers. I've known and admired each of you. First, I was gonna say a decade, and then I realized I think it's been 2 decades. You guys can start making noises now through the mic. All right, I'm super excited to have Myra Austin, the senior center's administrator, Sydney Sims, programs and operations manager of the Seymour Center, and Don Smith, program and operations manager of the Passmore Center. So I'll stop talking and just say welcome, Myra and Sydney and Dawn. Hi, friends.
Hi, Heather. We're so happy to be here.
I am happy you all are here, and now you can talk as much as you want into the microphones. We're still getting polished enough here that I was like, okay, the mics are hot now. Don't say anything. All right. So I'm so excited to talk more about the programs and services at the senior centers, but I didn't want to overlook each of the three of you. We want to learn more about you. I didn't tell them this, so they're all looking at me like, what are you going to ask? I'd like each of you just to go around and share a little bit about your journey into this work. How long have you been at the Department on Aging, and what motivated you to work with older adults? So basically to tell a little bit about yourself. I'm looking at the way they're sitting. I'll start with Myra.
Okay. So I have been with the Orange County local government for 35 years come August. Ooh. And with the senior centers for 22 years. I started my career with Orange County with Parks and Recreation, have a background in therapeutic recreation, and now I serve as the senior center's administrator, as Heather said. And I love working with older adults. It's lots of fun. We do lots of diverse programming. And that kind of tells you my story of how I got to be here.
I know, and you and I, we've been together for 20 years because yes. I started joining things in 2003 here, so, and even before that when I was in school, Oh my goodness. All right, Dawn, your journey.
So I actually really got started with the Department on Aging as an intern in college. I interned with Myra when she was the wellness coordinator. And so I really got to learn about the department and luckily was able to join it. I've been with the department for 17 years.
Wow, I know. We've gone back. There's been like families and marriages and babies since then. I have watched names have changed. I've known you for a long time.
Yes. So definitely been hanging around and started off as the facility manager back at when it was called the Central Orange Senior Center. And that was front desk, facility, a little bit of everything in our small space.
That was when it was more in like, it had like a strip mall look. It was that whole other area. I just joined and got active, and you're like, don't look around. We're not even trying to decorate because we're moving to a new building. So you went all posh on us.
Yes, because it was like office spaces that were put together. And when I came on board, they were starting the construction of the new location, which they attached it over where the Triangle Sportsplex is. Mm-hmm. So we're right next to them. And so we've been there for 14 years. And I have just been in the position of programs and operations manager for about a year.
Wow. I thought it was longer than that. But yeah, I hope if any of our listeners have been around Hillsborough for a long time to see the transition from being in that funky office rec center, not quite space, into like this beautiful new space, it's amazing. So. All right, great. We're going to dive a lot more into that soon. And Sydney.
Yes, and I'm Sydney Sims, again, the operations manager of the Seymour Center. And I've been with the department right at 22 years.
That's why.
Myra and I kind of kicked off together. At that time, when we started, we were on Elliott Road.
Yes.
And it was called the Chapel Hill Senior Center at that time.
And now it's like Fido.
It's now Fido. That's exactly it. It's, Fido is there. And then, of course, we also had another center here in the Northside community. So
yes.
When I started, I was just, you know, the program person, or they called me the party girl, the activity girl. And I was running between both centers. And then, of course, magic happened. You know, after 7 years, and we merged the two, and then we open up, and we're over on Homestead Road, which is now the Robert and Pearl Seymour Center, and been there for 16 years. So I've been, that's as of my 22 years.
Oh.
So it's been a great ride.
It has been fun. Well, we've known each other for a while, and my daughter's name is Sydney, and so
that's
I'm always
right.
like, Sydney, all right, Sid for both of you. I get sort of throws me when we're all together. Having seen where you've been, like literally where you've been, and these two beautiful centers now has been truly amazing. All right, so now let's sort of get all into it. Myra, I'm going to give you the big picture questions because I know we're going to get into specifics with Dawn and Sydney. But when you talk about the Department on Aging and the different senior centers, what's your general spiel of, like, here's a general overview of what the senior centers are?
So we have two lovely senior centers. They're basically 10 miles apart in Orange County, and we serve. You don't have to go to, if you live in Hillsborough, you can't go to Chapel Hill, and Chapel Hill can't go to Hillsborough. We welcome everybody, and we promote to 55 and older, but sometimes even if you're under that age, we might let you in for a program.
Yes. I know. So. Alicia, who was so sad she couldn't join today, but I'm like, there's only four mics. And other shows, Alicia's determined to get me, and she's like, I don't care that you're 52. You are doing my physical fitness program.
Yes, so. Alicia's one of our great instructors who has taught at both locations and has taught virtually for us.
So anywhere in Orange County, if you live in Orange County, you can go to either of the centers.
Yeah. And even if you don't necessarily live in Orange County, you can come to see us at either of the centers. We just hope not to displace any Orange County residents who want to participate. So we have about, at the Passmore Center, we have about 150 to 200 people a day that come through that facility. And the Seymour Center, between 250 and 300 a day. So lots of different folks coming in for lots of different programs, lots of diversity at the centers. Particularly at Seymour, you will see lots of Mandarin speakers and Spanish speakers. And so we offer just a wide variety and programs that will interest all of those folks. So, and I like to say in my article for the Endless Possibilities, which we may talk about in a little bit.
Oh, we definitely. We always talk about, I like that you said publication. We gave LaTanya such a hard time. time when she came on to talk about wellness programs, and she called it, I think she called it our newsletter. And we were like, it's not a newsletter. It's a catalog. It's a booklet. It's a huge,
yes. Catalog.
But encouraging people to, if they don't see something they like, you know, or a program they want to do, to ask us about it, and we'll try to do, try to offer that.
Yeah, it's, you know, amazing.
Within reason, so yeah.
It's quite an eclectic, and you started to throw out some stats, yeah. And I'm trying to make a thing of, I don't know if you heard our fun facts and sexy statistics, and you shared some. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun clearly behind the microphone, but I love that you shared how many people, because it's so much more than people think per day.
Yes.
And then you can share your stats, or I can, over, you know, your recent annual report. It was over 5,214 people in Orange County alone.
That's an individual count.
Non-duplicate.
If you get into duplicate, we've got huge numbers for those.
Oh, I have them in front of me.
Yes.
If you get into duplicated, I was so into this last night and today, and I highlighted it. Yep. Total senior center participation, 92,752 visits.
Yep.
Or people that have come in for your programs.
That's right. And it's growing, because part of those numbers were when we were just coming out of the pandemic shutdown, so to speak.
So, right, because these were
21-22 numbers. So we actually only 3 months of that, about three or four months, where we actually full open, where we didn't have restrictions on space and number of people we can have and those kinds
super
of things.
Fun.
So those numbers are growing.
So I'm brainstorming, not that you asked me to, but somehow to figure out where you are and then determine the person that comes through is your 100,000th person.
Ooh.
You know, because you can
get a sense,
and then you have Dawn's going, she's got, we're working with our hands, confetti, and you make it a big thing, the 100,000th estimation, and then, you know, they get something. Oh, see,
you have to figure that out.
See? Because you are the party women, so let's do this.
I can see Heather trying to be that person.
I can see that too.
I like to have the ideas, not actually do it. I'm good at what about, and then you make that happen.
Yeah.
So 92,000 visits, and then through the lunch program, which I'm a big fan of because I used to go there with my mom, I see that you served in 21 and 22 almost 46,000 meals, 45,888.
Yes.
Distinct meals.
Yes.
You're not messing around.
No,
we weren't messing around. Those are some
serious stats. Those meals, remember, so we had not opened, so those were almost all curbside or delivered. Because much of the pandemic, we did a delivery service and a drive-through service, so no in-house eating. The numbers just flourished. And we had lots of help from volunteers, and I always give credit to two groups. One is our dedicated part-time staff who stood literally in the rain and the snow and the sleet, because I saw
you
it firsthand, serving those meals to the curbside, but also the area law enforcement agencies, Carver, Chapel Hill, Orange County, Town of Hillsborough, all were there to help support delivering those meals and making those numbers.
I know. A whole other, meaning to protect and serve.
Yeah.
They were literally serving meals when the rest of us were all at home.
Yeah.
One statistic I saw, which I'm shocked about, I'm going to question it, just because I'm always amazed when I come into the senior centers, and maybe because I do a lot at the Seymour Center, and I'm always walking in and seeing a bunch of men in particular playing a lot of pool, and ping pong, is it ping pong and pool, or,
so billiards,
table tennis.
Those
are the more
fancy
names now.
The pool boards and table tennis. So one of the statistics was that it's 83% women and 14% men, and maybe the men are just making themselves known, but I'm surprised that it was such a big...
Well, a lot of those numbers, you mentioned, you do see them play in those particular activities, but a lot of our educational programs, arts, crafts, typically tend to be more women. Exercise tend to be more...
The men are literally out front in the lobby doing it. Because I was wow, that's a big... But really, it's welcome for anyone. All right. There's a lot more stats, but I'm just... And I will tell you, 2 weeks ago, we had the phenomenal Women of the Aging Transitions team, your colleagues. This was your turn on the show, but we had Kim and Kendall and Marie talk about all the support services that are provided in the centers as well. And we didn't have statistics when they were there, so the fact that, and we were really pushing the aging helpline for people to call, they get 3,434 calls. And then per month, they help an average of 450 people. That's huge.
Yeah, so. that would be correct.
All right. Well, there's a lot. Okay, so one more question to Myra, and then we're going to open it up for Dawn and Sydney, and then Myra, you're welcome to talk too. But I know.
Thank you.
You know, I know it is interesting on my show. Like, do I really open it up for other people to chat? Yes, I do. But I did some fun research, and you shared some interesting information. And you recently went through a national reaccreditation. I can't say that word.
Accreditation.
Yeah, you got that. Again. That's crazy. So anyway, they are accredited, nationally accredited senior centers. Yes. And I know it was a huge amount of work. For our listeners, that may not sound like a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was a massive amount of work.
Yes.
It is a major accomplishment for Orange County. It's really big in North Carolina. I know this because you put me on an advisory panel where I did nothing. I just sat and went, you're pretty fabulous. Yeah. Where do I participate on just one
You helped
panel?
Us review our documents. And
I did, but you did all of the work. And so tell us about this accreditation process and why this is such, why our listeners should be so proud of you and Dawn and Sinead and the whole team at the
Well,
senior
one
centers.
Thing we recently learned, we had the opportunity to go to the national conference and they presented our awards to us, and that was a great thing.
Was that last week?
It was
that
last week. It was last week.
Aww,
so this was actually active at the end of last year, end of 22, so it'll be good for the next 5 years. And one of the things that it's so important for us is not only the recognition, and we learned that there's only 300 senior centers nationally that participate in this process. There's others in North Carolina who participate in the North Carolina only process, but of 10,000 senior centers nationwide, only 300 participate and are accredited. And so not only the name recognition, but for us in North Carolina, the General Assembly has set aside additional funds through the Department of Health and Human Services. If you are a center of excellence, which both the Passmore and the Seymour Center are centers of excellence, you receive additional funding to spend, and these gals love to spend their additional funds and on programs or supplies for programs. So that's one of the other reasons, besides the recognition that it brings. And there's certain standards that have to be followed and have to be met in order to achieve this recognition. And you're right, it is a lot of work, a lot of tracking, a lot of keeping up, and making sure the community's involved in the process. And we always have the community involved in the process.
Yeah,
not necessarily for the accreditation, but both centers have program advisory groups. Mm-hmm. There's friends groups that work at the centers, so lots of community involvement. But for this process, there's then, as you mentioned, Heather, you were on a board with us that helped look at all those documents that made sure we crossed all our T's and dotted all our I's.
Yeah.
And then there's actually reviewers, so it's not just it goes up to a group and they rubber stamp it. Then there's some peer reviewers that take place, and they look
at
and then they visit.
It was in person
at
one point, and then it was over Zoom round. They don't mess around.
Yeah, so.
Well, congratulations. I know that's a huge accomplishment.
Congratulations to Dawn and Sydney for all their work and their leadership at their centers.
And how long does it last for? Do you have to do this every year? Do you have to
Every five years.
So you can, is it at the same interval as the Master Aging Plan every 5 years, or is it off years so you get a little
bit of
We try
to do it off. I mean, it's turned out so it's fall and an off year. We went into it, because typically it takes about a year for the process.
I remember,
But this one was a little longer because the pandemic got thrown in the middle of that. So, but we made it through, so.
All right, well, congratulations, and I'm so happy that you were recognized as and the rest of the group as you should be. Okay. Well, so speaking of the centers and the pandemic, I want to ask Sydney and Dawn, let's get into the operations of the senior centers. One of the amazing things, as we just spoke about, you all never closed. While even when you had to close for some of the visitors, the operations kept going in different ways. So how did you keep running during the pandemic? You know, how did y'all do that? How did you keep the seniors engaged during that time? So Sydney's smiling and nodding, so you go first.
Sure, absolutely. I just going back, you know, to that time when, you know, we were told, okay, we're going to have to, you know, close the doors, you know, come to a standstill. We were all kind of thinking, okay, we got together the team, talked about what we're going to do. We were kind of scrambling, you know. So when most people actually shut their doors, packed it up, went home, we did not. You know, we might have closed our doors, you know, just to protect our, you know, our community, our seniors, but we didn't go home. So we had to pivot very quickly, had to come up with, okay, how we're going to, you know, stay engaged. One of the beauty was that we, through our lunch program, which was curbside, so we decided to tag team onto that because we knew we had an audience. We had people that were coming, you know, whether they were in their vehicles or they were biking or they were walking up to the doors to get their lunch. So we became creative and started putting together all kinds of various activities. We even had like live entertainment out there on the parking lot, kept giving out information from, you know, updated with the CDC, just wanted to make sure they were still in the know, make sure that they knew that we were still there to even offer, you know, one-on-one services. They needed to see one of our aging transition staff. We did a lot, you know, we had to be super creative. We did bingo. All kinds of things out there in the parking lot just to keep people engaged. And I remember when the funniest thing was I had this DJ come, and that's when, you know, we had the mask and everything and the 6 feet apart.
Yes.
And he played the electric slide, and I kid you not, people got out of their cars and started doing the electric slide in the parking lot. It was a beautiful thing to see because it was kind of giving them a chance to just let loose and, you know, get that in, that bottle of energy out because people have been going through so much during that time. And I remember thinking, I went running around the parking lot, okay, remember everybody, 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart, you know, just trying to, you know, keep them still safe. But I was so happy to see them, you know, having a wonderful time. So, we kept it going.
We kept it going.
Yes, we did. And I'm sure Dawn could talk about the things she did as well down at the Passmore Center.
Yeah. And it was definitely, I know for our seniors, it was a learning curve with technology. You know, you have all different levels of people. It was a learning curve for staff also. Yeah. I remember sitting at home going, all right, let's figure out this YouTube.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, really, you know, trying to, you know, initially trying to get those virtual options. How can we do this? Oh, there's Zoom. There's GoToMeetings. Okay, now we can see each other and talk to each other. Let's figure this out. So there was a lot of that at first, and but it really did. It really was hard with that because some people, especially in the rural part of Orange County, past Hillsboro, there's no internet out that way.
I was just going to ask, did you have any issues with both the digital divide, people not having internet, or if they have it, not know how to work it? So,
do you have a
sense of how many folks were kind of literally cut off because they didn't have internet service?
And we probably had a pretty good, I don't know numbers. About that time, you know, the Orange County and the broadband, they were like hustling to install it. I remember the Cedar Grove community getting it, and their Raritan Club saying, come to our parking lot and use the internet.
Oh.
So,
nice.
You know, all populations that were out there were kind of missing out when everything was, like, really shut down. So it was nice when we started bringing stuff into the parking lot, even though it was hot. But they were
cold.
Yeah, hot or cold, but they were ready to be there.
They were.
And so, and even when we slowly started opening back up, you know, everybody's like, we got to schedule a time to come shoot pool.
Yeah.
Play table tennis?
Oh, that's right. Because they couldn't just show up because there's only a certain number of people. You couldn't have 200.
That's right.
All
that's
at
right.
one time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was very different. Very different.
So what does it look like now? What has changed? What has stayed the same? Because now you're creating a new normal. So how is programming changed? And has it changed back to how it was, or are you doing things differently? So
I think we're doing things, I would say we're doing things a little differently. We still have some of the old, but then now it's kind of married to some of the new. We're doing like a little bit more pop-up events. We're starting to do a little bit more use outdoor spaces, you know, because that was, you know, what we were led to do at the time. That was a charge to be outside. And
I'll interrupt you to say, what's a pop-up event? Because whatever that is, I want in on it. Yes. Like, I have a sense of that, but does it pop up at the senior center, or are you doing it, like, we're here in the
Carver? Oh, they're cool. Well, they're cool. The pop-up events is kind of, we have them there at the senior center. It may happen inside our lobby. It may happen outside, where we'll tag team. Maybe, like, for example, we have, like, pop-up events with the library.
Yeah.
And they'll come and set up in the lobby, and that way people now do not have to worry about trying to go, you know, to the library. The library is now coming to us and spending a day there and some time.
And you have a little farmer's market out front. Whenever I'm visiting you, I'm always feeling guilty that I'm not
market.
Buying.
Well, the farmer's market, that's kind of been
That's been
us
there for a while.
It's been there a while. And so we were happy that was still able to continue to flourish, you know, even, you know, during the challenging times. So we were able to still keep that going as well.
Okay.
But one of the things also, too, is like Myra said, we had the congregate meals like on inside, and then we're still doing that along with people are still coming to pick up food.
Grab and go.
So can they drive through and pick it up, or do they have to come inside?
No, they have to come inside now. And at one point they could, and then, of course, you know, with staffing and being creative and trying to make sure, you know, we're being efficient, we cut that part off, but they can still come in and, you know, and pick up their food as well. And
the food's really good. I wanted to, like, point out, because I want to encourage people to do the lunch. Is there still space if more people want to sign up?
Yeah, there's still space. Yep. They just have to get registered. And that is a little restrictive in that it's Orange County residents only. You have to be 60 in order to not have the fee to pay for the lunch service. But great caterer. We have a new caterer. Been there a little over, right at a year.
I
don't think I've had lunch with the new caterer.
You come on over there and have some lunch, Heather.
I can say this because you're not supposed to, like, ask for donations, but you will accept.
Right.
I know when my mom and I went through.
It's actually a cost share.
So,
That's deemed by the Division of Health and Human Services and our Older Americans Act funding. So it's a cost share program. So we basically leave a box out there, even though most people think it's $1 for the lunch. That's the, it's you contribute whether you can or whether you cannot.
Yeah.
As long as you are registered and we have a meal for you, and a meal equates to getting a ticket about an hour before lunch
and
is served.
And it's like a big deal because my mom and I would do it after her exercise, and we'd have to see if, even if you're signed up, you still need to be able to get a ticket that there's enough that day.
Yep.
And then if there were extra, me as an under 60 guest, I could purchase a ticket or something.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
It was like $6 or something.
Right. Yes,
gone up.
It's gone up. It's gone up.
Yeah, it's $7 now.
Everything else, it's gone up.
I just lied to my mom. I said it's $10. It's $20 for both of us. Let's give a nice donation, and so that way. But okay,
very
so
kind.
Lunch program is wonderful. So
and
people can still
with
sign
our
up.
With hybrid, because we still realize there are people, you know, that are still. They're not yet quite ready to still come back. So, of course, we're still offering, you know, those hybrid options. So what's been nice, and we even got monitors at both of our centers now, so that, you know, people, if they want to do a writing class or whatever we're offering, you know, that person may be in their Hollywood Squares on the monitor or at home. They can still be a part of whatever we're offering right there in one of our class spaces.
And LaTanya talked a little bit about that when we talked about the wellness programs. And tell me if I have this correct. If you want to do a hybrid program, you don't automatically list the Zoom link, correct? Aren't there some programs where you have to let them know with some of the fitness programs, hey, I want to participate, but I'm going to do it from home, and then you'll get the Zoom link, but
you'll
in the endless.
That is correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, but there was some interesting things happening early on with putting the Zoom links. People were like, you know, inviting themselves and coming in, and I think we got kind of, what do they call it?
Did they hijack it?
We were having some hijacking going.
Zoom bombed or hijacked a couple of those issues early on.
Was it folks that were making a mistake getting in, or was it like flagrant?
No,
they were intentionally coming.
Malicious.
Yeah, there was
malicious. That's right. Oh, I guess.
Yes, there were some.
Wow.
And you can't, in a printed publication, one, it takes up a lot of space.
That's true.
And you can't hyperlink it. You'd have to type it, and there's always room for error when you're typing in the so.
So people can still participate.
That's right.
In a lot of the programs.
That's right. And then if they have email, we'll make sure they get what they need so they can connect up, you know, with whatever class it is that they're interested in.
Great.
Yeah.
I think this is a good time to do a shout out of telephone numbers. So if people want to call you, I know we did in the beginning, but what number is it the same number for both, or is it different numbers? Okay, so Sydney, for the senior center, at the Seymour Center, Robert and Pearl Seymour, what number should they call?
So they should call our main number, front desk, at 919-968-2070.
Okay, great. That's the number I provided at the top of the show. And then if they're in Hillsborough at the Passmore Center, Dawn?
Yes, so our front desk is 919-245-2015. But really, if you call either number, as long as it's in our system, because we have a shared database, ideally they could get signed up at either place. We can reach out. If we don't know the Zoom link, we can reach out to the staff at Seymour and just say, hey, this person's interested, and get it that way. So that's the nice thing. You know, we're starting to see a lot of
sister centers, so we look out for each other.
Exactly. And we have a lot of people that, you know, they're signing up at both places. So it's like, hey, just give us your list, and we'll get you signed up.
Yeah.
Back in the day when we were doing, I don't know if you remember, we were doing all this sort of aging work, and it was the no wrong door, you know, wherever you come in, so we'll help you out. So there was that concept, so that way if you're in Chapel Hill, we'll give you information for Hillsborough and vice versa. So Dawn, what's it like for you all now? Are you back to your, what does your new normal look like?
Our new normal, I will say, our classes I feel like have been picking back up. I think people are ready to get back engaged. I guess sitting at home for a long time, a good bit of our art classes have gotten good enrollment. So I don't have people after sitting home so long going, I need a hobby and I'm going to learn to learn this.
Yeah.
But
that's me. I'm obsessed now with crafts and things like that.
Yes.
So, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so tons of people. Those have been pretty successful for us. But even, you know, like our line dance classes. So some of those classes that even just kind of came back after the pandemic. We don't have as many people just kind of hanging out with us. I think that is starting to increase, but you know, our group coming in shooting billiards is not a steady group like it was before COVID. People just coming and spending some time in our lobby. We don't have that quite as much as I feel like we did pre-COVID. I don't know if people are hesitant or if it's just that right now they're like, I want to do this class, and that's my
focus. So they're coming in more intentional as opposed to I'm just going to go and hang out at the center of it.
Right. Yeah. And it's a little different on our end. We have more people coming in for drop-in activities. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more coming in. And we're seeing a lot of new faces. I mean, a lot of new faces, which is pretty cool.
And tell us about the new faces. Are they new faces because they have become aged appropriate? They've aged into the senior center activities? Or are they literally new to Orange County
and they've just moved here? I would say new to Orange County because I make it an effort to go up to them and introduce myself and, say, hey, I'm new here. Can you give me one of your programs of your publications so I can see what all you're doing? I said, and I'll introduce myself and they say, where are you from? And how long you've been here? And welcome, you know. So I think it's, you know, a lot of people are moving to this area. Mm-hmm. They're coming to help their children with the young ones, with the grandchildren. So I think it's a little mixed bag there. And then there's just some people who've been here all this time. They've been working and now they retire. You know, the pandemic, you know, a lot of people
took early retirement.
Yeah, took early retirement. They're like, I'm
working remote from home so they can come to programs.
Exactly. So I think it's mixed.
And I like to look through the Endless Possibilities catalog Bible. I don't know, it's just so long. And I was amazed. So we talked about it. My dad was on the show with Alicia, and my dad's a big, he really loves pickleball. And so I was amazed to see you all have joined the pickleball craziness.
Oh,
and
yes.
So you have, and I couldn't, like, there's pickleball inside, in your, like, where people have lunch. I'm very confused by your multi-purpose room there.
Yes.
So you've really opened it up, and I'm wondering how many people are also, because you offer all these sort of real active, you know, athletic opportunities in addition to the more sort of creative, quiet, recreational. I don't know how to say that.
So are more people, your question is, more people coming into these kind of active activities?
Yeah, what's pulling them in?
I think that's what it is. I think part of it is that, is the interest in more physical type things, which alludes to the exercise, you know, interest in exercise classes, the pickleballs. And you're right, we just did get into the pickleball craze at the Seymour Center. We've avoided it all these years until most recently.
But it's a challenge. It's around a lot of places, but not pickleball itself is hard, though. I don't know. I've never tried. But I talk with my dad. It can be hard to find a place. I mean, there's some places, but some places you have to belong to the clubs or whatever. So, you know, it's...
Yeah, and and I know Dawn has this, and she can speak to it at Bassmore, too, but I think both centers kind of have a little bit of a learning, you know, a lower key play of the pickleball versus a more competitive style, and we're trying to kind of diversify that a little bit. If you're more competitive, go to Chapel Hill Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
or, you know, or Parks and Rec places.
Don't you have pickleball for Parkinson's? I mean,
pickleball. Really, that was actually our first pickleball experience at the Seymour Center, and that's been going on
way before the pandemic.
Long before the pandemic. So,
which makes me think, because I work with some families individually, and so depending on what their specific needs are, whether it's Parkinson's or maybe they're going through brain changes and so they're interested in dementia related programming, it does make me wonder if we should do a shout out to some of the specific, and I just did two of them, some of the specific programming either around diseases or physical changes or cognitive changes, but what other ones are there if someone's specifically looking at XYZ?
There are some programs listed in our guide, the Endless Possibilities Program Guide, that allude to some of those different areas, and I can't pinpoint any specific. You know, I know there's some from Dementia Basics and those kinds of things, so it just depends on when it's scheduled, so you can always look in that or call the Aging Helpline addition to calling the Senior Center numbers.
And a lot of caregiver support.
Yeah, there's caregiver support. Yes. There's a new program, which I'm hoping Allison's coming to talk to you about, the R Place.
I know. In fact, I thought she was going to be on soon, and I do not see her on the calendar. So, listeners, you're going to get Allison soon to come and talk about that program, but I realized she wasn't scheduled. When I saw her, she's like, I'm coming in. I'm like, when? So, when you talk about the programs, I want to get back to welcoming in just a moment, but is there like a big picture way that you describe it? Because my mind runs out of adjectives when you have creative programs, you have physical health programs, you have mental health programs. Like, how do you describe the fullness of what you offer, so that way people don't say, oh, I don't go to the Senior Center because it's just blah.
We're fun. We're full of fun. But definitely, you know, we are trying to keep everyone active. Whether it is mentally, physically, you know, they're not just sitting and doing nothing.
Or watching
TV. We're trying to keep them doing
engaged.
Stuff, keep them active.
All the time. Active
or come do nothing together.
We were talking
about the power of social engagement on the second show, I think. And, you know, even the positive effects of just being around other people. So you can just come and I've done this at both of your centers, just sit on the couches and you just take in the energy of other folks and just, you know, maybe strike up a conversation, but you don't, that's that drop-in sense. You don't even have to sign up for something, and there's all these benefits of just coming in there. So I want to talk about welcomingness, because I think I just made up a term, but you have a really neat new program. I just learned about it last month, and it is so cool. And it's, Myra, you know what I'm referring to because you're smiling.
No.
It's the Inclusive Lobby. Tell us, what's it originally, is it called the Inclusive Lobby Program? Or
Lobby Project.
Inclusive Lobby Project.
So it's the, and I'll let these ladies also chime in, it's also the ability so that if someone comes into the center, well, first of all, we have a sign that is in multiple languages that says welcome in each of the centers. So then also a way for people who English is not their primary language to be able to receive service by use of translation services. So we are fortunate that we do have at Seymour a staff, but also volunteers who are bilingual in Mandarin and English, and also Spanish staff who is Spanish speaker and bilingual, you know, in English and Spanish. And so we also have a Spanish staff at Passmore that is bilingual, so they can help out there as well. But this will also give other language, people who speak other languages, and they did a survey of the top six languages used around this area, and that they've translated the information, basically kind of a welcome, and this is information. It's on a printed document that they can identify which language they speak, and then they can refer to a language helpline to deal with issues or concerns or questions that person may have in their native language. So
yeah, you had, I saw the announcement just the other day, you had a graduate student working with you, and mm-hmm. I saw her post on LinkedIn mm-hmm. and liked it, and she posted some pictures. So do you know those six languages? Because it's Mandarin and Spanish, and then
Karen,
Burmese.
There's a new one.
Kirwandan.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm probably not saying.
It was okay. Well, not this was not to test you, but it was not. You know, a lot of times when people say,
close.
"Oh,
that
we
was
have,"
at least five, so.
Well, a lot of times people say, "Oh, we were in different languages. It's English and Spanish." Mm-hmm. But
And Mandarin.
I thought Korean was one of them. So Mandarin, and then I thought Korean was one of them also.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, and I know that here in Orange County we have double the population, the Asian population, especially the Chinese population here in Chapel Hill, and a lot of older adults. And so for years you have been really responsive to making sure that no matter what folks look like and what language folks speak, that they're welcome. And I was with some folks who are with healthcare providers, and you know, you provide more services than some of our healthcare providers when you walk in.
It's well, just really like cool. You said earlier, I mean, we want to make everyone feel welcome.
Yes.
And it's our, at the moment, and with the funds that we have, our best attempt to do so, and by sharing and be able to communicate with them in their...
It's phenomenal. And I have watched you all win so many awards for different innovative programs over the years, and this is definitely going to be one of them. It's very interesting, and the fact that you link them with translation services, mm-hmm. so it's not just a simple sign. Anyway, mm-hmm. people check it out. Go on. Yeah. Is it on your website? Because I know I searched it out on this lovely student's.
If it's not on there yet, it definitely will be, so I'm not sure how... I mean, I know we will post something in the lobby, right?
Yes.
Sid, Dawn.
Oh, you also
and
have the new
be
portrait.
A video. There will also be a video.
Yes, in the video as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I've seen that where you can, I saw the one where you can press on the screen and it immediately goes. But don't you have a huge new, somebody has a huge new mural. I saw
We have the mural.
Welcome mural.
Yeah, that's what Myra was referring to earlier.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. At both locations.
Yes, at both locations. Mm-hmm.
Who did that? That was awesome.
Oh, Beverly worked on that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge wall that says
it has like
lots of languages.
Like that's 20, and what do you call that, a word?
Word cloud.
Oh, yeah, word cloud.
Word cloud, yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing, too, I was going to say regarding what we're doing, too, is with our endless possibilities, we're now trying to also put in, like, Mandarin and also in Spanish, some of our programming, not have it all in English. So we're working towards that slowly but surely, know, so that when they open it, they don't necessarily... trying to figure out, you know, we try to make sure we
They know how to navigate it.
And
your caring staff. I mean, you have social workers and other folks that are bilingual or trilingual. So anyway, I know there's been really thoughtful efforts.
And with some additional funding, we just got this, so we haven't really activated it yet. But we were able to actually order devices that can be used for dual translation, meaning that if an English speaker is, you know, the predominant speaker for the program, that someone who is bilingual, and of course they need to be able to understand, or it's a printed program, the other person who speaks the other language can speak into a transmitter, and the people can receive in their ear the language.
Yeah, it's real-time translation. It's like the UN.
Yeah.
If you watch we can only do two languages at a time.
I mean, in addition to, three languages total, but it's really cool, so we're excited about that.
So cool. And I want to go back to another question. So we've talked about people feeling welcomed when they come to the center. Sydney, you especially were talking about some of the virtual programs, but you also shared with me that there's some fun prep work you were telling me beforehand. There's actually a new state requirement
to have virtual programs.
So we were talking about sort of the post-pandemic.
Yeah. So yeah, that came from the North Carolina Division of Adult Services, and they just put it out there that they wanted us to come make sure that we had at least one special event a month that would be virtual, you know, just so that people can still have that choice, that option. And then also, too, I think we had to have one ongoing. Mm-hmm. Help me out with that one.
That's right.
Ongoing throughout the year.
Weekly ongoing.
Mm-hmm. One monthly, so that's 12 programs, hybrid programs a year, and then one weekly.
Minimum, which
you, I'm sure, are more than
yes.
And but it's great that the state has recognized it, because I remember back in the day in another sort of area, it was the opposite. I mean, there were certain things when the state's like, you have to do everything in person, and da-da. So the fact that this is something that people, you know, there are a few good things that have happened from the pandemic. Right. It's all mostly awful, but you know, that there are new ways to keep people engaged, and that now they really support virtual programming.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And very cool of you to remind me to ask you about that.
Yes.
The other thing I will remind you that you reminded me to ask about, so for you and Dawn, that there's something new going on at the senior centers where you both have program assistants.
Yes.
We were all excited about that. Oh my goodness, they're so excited. Look at Dawn's face and Sydney.
Yes.
Listeners, they were smiling before, and now there's euphoria. Dawn, why are you so happy? What does this program assistant, how has this made your life clearly so much better?
So we have had a program assistant before. It was one full-time position that was shared between the two centers. So there was a little bit of, you know, like, okay, where's she going this week and next week, and can I pull her on this one special day? So at the Passmore Center, we now have a designated part-time person to start off with part-time. And so it's nice because she can just totally focus on the Passmore Center, getting additional programming in, seeing what people want, making those connections. And so it's been great. And we've had Janine on board for maybe about 4 months now.
Okay.
And she just jumped right on in, and it's been really great.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you have someone there, clearly, the smiles.
Yes.
Janine, whatever you're doing, bravo, Sydney. Who's your...
Oh, mine is Samantha.
Woman in shining armor, that has made your life better, Samantha.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And she's been with us since... I guess since January of this year. And Samantha is full-time. And, of course, I definitely need that. I need her. She has come with great programming experience, strong background in arts and crafts. And so she hit the ground running, and I'm just loving it, you know, and enjoying having that person every day. You know, like Dawn was saying, we had to share, and the person would go between the two centers. So now we both, you know, are winning, I would say. We're winning, for sure.
That's awesome.
And we can move forward, you know, about programs ahead.
All right. So then, while we're talking about programs, and I know we have just a few minutes left, so I want to get into some of our kind of favorites. And what would you say the most popular program? Because I was going to ask you this before. Things I want to make sure I ask you before. Ooh, everyone's thinking.
Most popular programs right now.
Or it doesn't have to be sport. Or know, a popular. You can have multiple.
Okay, good. I was going to say, because I got, you know, line dance has been very popular at Passmore, even pre-COVID. They continued initially in someone's cul-de-sac parking lot, or, you know, their neighborhood, and then they came back to our parking lot. So that has held strong. We have like five different line dance classes throughout the week, and they are all full.
It's a thing. Okay.
And then, and like I said, a lot of our art classes are building back up. I think a lot of people coming in for that. And the newest big thing, and I think it helps since being back from COVID, we have had a volunteer that has been teaching it. Our Mahjong group has really grown since we've been able to open back up for those games, because
yeah,
we were still restricted.
Yeah, I've seen folks at Seymour, but I hadn't seen, I'm not as at Passmore as much, but okay.
Yes.
All right, so that's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, most popular programs at the Seymour Center.
I would say our poetry and writing groups. Gosh, I tell you, we have so many. It's just hard to pinpoint, but I would say those. And maybe our crafts. We have a huge craft following. You know, people that like to
that's gonna be
get
me.
Their hands working and making and doing, I would say. Yeah.
And that's also a great opportunity. Selfishly, I'm thinking about my own daughter, who I know volunteered at one point and helped to do some of the crafts. It's a great volunteer opportunity for folks who want to get active at the senior centers. You can also volunteer to help with some of these programs.
Okay.
So,
Absolutely.
Listeners, if you want to kind of join in and help with any of these things, we had a whole program on volunteer. Shanae was on talking about volunteer efforts.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so other popular programs, because then we're going to go to...
I would just say that we've had some, I know we, besides popular, I would say we had some really cool creative programming that's come out of, that's developed since being back. We've had this program that's really catching on, but being a blessing to many of our senior community. It's called Pantry to Pantry.
Ooh.
And so this is kind of cool. So... what we do is ask everyone, even staff, volunteers, whoever, clean out your pantries, make sure you look at the expiration dates, drop that food off at a certain date, and then what we do, and we give a list too, so you have a list that kind of can guide you, and then when people drop that off, what we do is we set up where people can come in and just help themselves, to have a little extra, they carry them through the month.
It's a little different, but similar to food banks that we have.
That's
but it
correct.
Has a different. It has a more. There's not. I don't know.
Right.
They
well, to
don't
me,
have to go somewhere else.
That's right. You don't have to go anywhere else. You can get it right
friends
there.
Friends just sharing things out of their pantry.
Like, you know what? You know, you can grab up some cookies and you have some nice cookies to snack on for the weekend.
Yeah.
Just because of that program, where maybe you might not have had it in your budget to splurge on, you know, certain things, or maybe just some good canned vegetables or fruits and things like that.
How often is that?
Once a month.
Well,
we just
once
started
a month.
That. Yeah. So.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And I like Pantry to. I love that because it's like neighbor helping neighbor. Pantry to Pantry. So, yes.
And I had one more thing I wanted to share with you all.
Share.
It was like
share
a fun
away.
Fact. So I was sitting there today and I was thinking, how many programs have we done? So I was thinking in 16 years, have you been in your location 15, right, Dawn?
14.
Okay. Well, I knew it was close. I knew we were
close.
You're close. And so I was thinking, okay, so we do at least 100 programs per quarter. And I times that by four.
That'd be 400. I can do that math.
Mm-hmm. And then I times that by 400 by 16.
Okay, that's going to be hard. 64?
Okay. So,
yeah. Did I do that?
So, 64,000 programs to date. So, but then I added in
Wait,
my
64,000 programs each year.
That's right. That we've offered at Seymour. But hold on.
Hold on. There's more stuff.
But, yes, because I added in Passmore. So, when I add in Passmore's numbers, us together combined, I put them at around 3,200-ish. That's 12,800 programs we offer.
12,800 programs you offer a month.
Within 16 years.
Oh, within 16 years.
Over a period of 16 years, we have offered well over, 12,800 programs.
Yeah, something happened with my math there because I had over you at 64,000. You've offered a ton.
That's amazing. That is amazing. But anyway, I just thought that was a cool, fun fact. And just to know that, like Myra said at the top of the hour, you know, hey, come and join us. And if you don't see anything, you know, let us know, and we'll provide it.
Well, and what I love about the three of you and the rest of the team at, I almost said aging well, the rest of the team at the Orange County Department on Aging, the two senior centers, you all have been doing this for a long time. You are county, you are government workers. They are sometimes can be a stereotype of people just sort of laying in complacency. And that is not true. You are the most innovative, energetic, can-do folks, and it is not a short-term thing. You have been doing this for a long time. And what motivates you? I'm so amazed.
Oh, I guess just knowing that, just making someone else, you know, making their day, making a difference, I would say, motivates me to keep it going. Hear that laughter, that noise, you know, Seymour Center is it's a very loud place, very active, you know, and I'm used to it. Somebody said, how can you work? I can work with all the noise. You can hear the hollers, the screams and everything. It's very energetic. And, you know, just knowing that I've made someone's day, it's worth it.
Well, you all are beautiful people. You have beautiful programs. And I realized the one program we didn't mention, so I'll say it really quickly, is in addition to all of the senior center programs, the senior centers also serve as early voting precincts.
Yes.
And
yes,
so many in our community of all ages, I know I do all my voting there, all the early voting. Is Passmore an early voting as well, or is it just Seymour?
Just Seymour, but we are an election day site now.
Got it.
Last three or four years.
So you are on so many levels a true pillar of civic engagement for all of our community members. I hate that we're out of town. I want to give so much love and thanks to Myra Austin and Sydney Sims and Dawn Smith, the amazing women who run the senior centers for Orange County. I really can't thank you enough for coming on Aging Well Together.
Thank you, Heather. It was fun.
All right. Thanks, friends.
Thank you.